You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Our current serial is The Bromances, and I finished the story this week, so I'm very proud of myself. It's going to be a total of 15 chapters, almost certainly. I haven't decided yet which reprint story is going to be appearing next on the podcast, but there is a poll on my Patreon page, so my backers can help me make up my mind. So that will be a lovely surprise for you. I will be announcing it later in the month. Okay. The Bromances, Episode 10. Sage can't solve all his problems with coffee. On Sunday it rained, which pretty much put the cherry on the top of this total whipped cream disaster of a weekend. Our whole gang was either loved up, Vale and Deck, or on edge, everyone else. Hebe was still pretending she didn't mind the basilisk invasion and drinking so many lattes that the air smelled of caffeine. She was all over Ferd like she had something to prove, and he in turn was acting casual so hard he almost strained a shoulder muscle. Then there was Jules Nightshade, who posed his way around the shiny new renovated campsite. I'd never seen him on his best behaviour before. He didn't turn up his nose at the food or the accommodations, which admittedly were a lot more swank thanks to his contribution. When Ferd and Viola were around, Nightshade stuck to them like glue, all snark and laughter. When Ferd was making out with Hebe, or disappearing into a tent with her, which happened more than once because they were clearly both avoiding conversation with each other, Nightshade looked weirdly bereft, like he didn't know who his audience was. He sizzled with energy like a lightning bolt in a silk dressing gown. It hurt to look at him. He didn't look at me or acknowledge my existence for most of the weekend. Didn't bother me. Why did I care? Juniper had returned to our campsite the night before, brought a new friend with her. They spent the whole time cuddled up together, eyeing off the rest of us like they knew some secret we weren't in on. The song I hadn't been able to find. It itched at my skin, tapped on my rib cage, twisted my stomach. I couldn't sleep in the tent I was sharing with May, even when the glow of her mirror finally faded at 3 a.m. Don't ask me how she always looks fresh as a daisy on 4 hours sleep. That at least was business as usual. You look like crap, May said, perfectly awake at 7 a.m, as if someone had plugged her into a charger and she just hit 100%. Let's get breakfast, somewhere that isn't here. That's the best suggestion anyone has made all weekend. I even changed my shirt before we left the tent. If she could make an effort, so could I. No one else was awake as we staggered out of the fake geek girl campsite and into the Sunday morning drizzle. Waterproofing charms had kept the rain off the tents and our instruments in the night, but we'd need more than that if we were going to practice and perform in the open air. Worry about it later, May said impatiently. Don't ask me how she wields so much authority while wearing an Athena Owl hand-knitted beanie. Some things are just meant to be a mystery. We ate bacon sandwiches in a cafe that looked like a circus tent. And unlike nearly every other commercial tent around here, was exactly the same on the inside as out. The provider of the bacon sandwiches was comfortingly null, which meant I didn't have to drown the usual acid tang of someone else's magic in a shitload of tomato sauce for once in my life. We should eat here all the time, I said with my mouth full. May was looking at me very calmly. So, Sage. Oh, this couldn't be good. She was making actual eye contact. Usually you could rely on May to avoid all social conventions. May? You remember that episode back in the frat boy feels season when Eli guesses that Tate is bisexual and tries to prove what an open-minded wingman he is by setting him up with all those pretty dudes, but they all turn out to be demons? Yeah, I said warily, because who wouldn't remember that episode? Clearly it was a trap, but I couldn't see the wires yet. May raised her eyebrows. You have demon make-out hangover face. I glowered at her. I haven't been making out with... Also, hey! Nightshade is slightly evil, but that doesn't make him a demon. Did I say anything about Nightshade? Man, she was worse than Holly when she got going. I haven't been making out with anyone, I grumbled, least of all him. We broke up. You know this. She separated her bread and bacon and egg into a neat pattern and took rotating bites of each. I think it's super interesting that you think there was something to break up. If the two of you were a TV show, you'd be cancelled already. Harsh, but not untrue. Yeah, I said, waggling my eyebrows at her. But the fic would be hot. I was heading back to campsite for our morning rehearsal when I ran into Nightshade himself. I felt him coming before I saw him. His magic is hard to miss. He's like a comet and an icy thunderstorm all at once. My temperature rises when he's nearby, which means that for most of our time together, I'd been running a low-grade fever. Explains a lot about every interaction we've ever had, actually. Today, without Ferd or Viola nearby, he looked wrong in natural lighting, sort of washed out. I was used to him either glittered and primped for a sweaty night out, or pink and rumpled in my bed. If he was a demon, it wasn't the kind that avoided sunlight, though you'd be hard-pressed to find any sunlight to prove that today. Jules Nightshade stood under an elegant silver-handled umbrella, watching me approach through the drip and drizzle. McLaren, he said evenly, because, yeah, no amount of hot and sweaty had got us past the point that we used each other's first names. Nightshade, enjoying the weekend? That came out bitter, because he wasn't supposed to be here. Even if we were still doing whatever the fuck we'd been doing before, it would have been weird to have him here. Now it was a trip, and not the good kind. He tilted his head, and I waited for something bitchy to come out. Instead, he took a breath and said, "It's not bad. Miracle Workers are playing later on Stage A, after your show. Do you want to go see them?" I was so taken aback to hear him speaking without being snarky or insulting, it didn't occur to me to say no. Besides, Miracle Workers. I wasn't going to miss that. "Sure," I said after too long a moment. "Rehearsal right now, though." He nodded, said, "I'll meet you later," and walked away through the drizzle. I watched him go. And Holly thought Juniper was acting out of character? That was nothing compared to this freak show. Belatedly, I realised, if I was his boyfriend, that would have been a damn appropriate time to ask him what was wrong. But I wasn't. So I didn't. And now he had a what? Date, apparently? We didn't do that. We barely knew how to interact with our dance music or our clothes off. I guess there was going to be music at least. There was no way I was surviving our rehearsal without coffee now. Cirque du Cacao is a favourite haunt back home, and it had followed us out here. At least there was a truck serving mostly chocolate, some coffee drinks, to the thirsty and unwashed. I ordered a cappuccino, went around the back of the truck to hold the cup between my hands, and warmed them up before I headed back. There was a slight overhang here and a waterproofing charm that spread a little further, so I could lean against the side and stay dry. The coffee smelled good enough to drink, but I hadn't decided yet. Coffee fucks with whatever alchemy connects my drumming to the rest of the band. It keeps the magic quiet, but it keeps some important me stuff quiet too, so I leave it as a last resort if we've got to perform. Still, my ex-whatever was acting like he was in a Halloween body swap episode of The Bromancers, and everyone else was taut as a cello wire. Something was going to go pop before the end of the day. I didn't want it to be me. One sip, just to quiet my head down a little. Maybe a second sip. "Hey," said a low voice. The cute goth barista who'd made my drink climbed out of the truck, holding a keep cup of his own. "Mind if I take my break here? Can't go too far. The other two in there are trainees." I shrugged. "Your truck, man." He glanced at my drink and not so subtly checked me out at the same time. "Aren't you playing later?" "Oh." I smirked at him, turning up what Holly called that ridiculous slutty rock star charisma you hide under dirty t-shirts. "You're a fan." Goth boy looked startled and a little embarrassed. "Hometown supporter," he corrected. "Makes me sound less needy." "Yeah, that's definitely working for you." I held out a hand. "Sage." "Obviously," he said, with a sarcastic quirk of his mouth that I kind of liked. He met my hand with his own, and yeah, that was why the coffee tasted so good. His magic was barely there, roll of an ocean wave, subtle, unobtrusive. Evan. I took another sip of the coffee, letting the calmness flood through me. I hadn't touched coffee in days because there wasn't much point if Nightshade and I weren't, you know, anymore. How messed up was that? Hey, I said, noticing that Evan wore a How Cinnabar I'll Go t-shirt. You know that episode with the demon matchmaking in season one? A slow smile came over Evan's face. Sure. That was a good episode. First time we ever came to get canon queer representation in the show. There was a signal, if ever there was one, that it was okay to flirt. The bromances, providing opportunities for gay nerds to find each other for 3 years and counting. But I had a rehearsal to get to. And, nah, there was no and. I gotta go, I said, letting myself sound a little regretful. See you around, maybe? Hope so, said Evan. There was a spark when we looked at each other, and one that had nothing at all to do with magical compatibility. So, that was a thing. I saluted him with my coffee cup and headed back to the campsite before I could admit to myself that I had just performed one of the dorkiest moves in the history of flirting. The sky opened up as I ran back to the campsite. So I wasn't just being drizzled anymore, but soaked to the skin. This time it was Viola Vale I met at the mouth of the campsite. Like Nightshade, she had her own umbrella, though hers was probably Prada. Who was I kidding? His was probably Prada, too. They like the finer things in life, these basilisk kids. If only they weren't so pretty. Apart from her stupidly expensive umbrella and her $300 haircut, Viola had done a reasonable job of dressing casual for the festival. Her sneakers were as muddy as everyone else's, and she was wearing a wingless t-shirt that... Damn it! There was another one she'd stolen from me. I didn't even know it had gone missing. She wore it like a dress over leggings with an actual metal belt slung across her hips, to imply it was made to be worn that way instead of to stretch over the chest of a normal-sized drummer. I liked that shirt, I grumbled. You have excellent taste, she said crisply. Too late, I recognised the fiery expression in her eyes, the angry tilt of her battle lipstick. Damn it! What have I done now? Viola leaned in, poking me in the gut. Something's wrong with Jules. You have to fix it with your dick. He's not my problem anymore, I protested, and my dick is not actually magic. Thanks. I swear her pupils actually flamed on. I could feel the heat of her magic building up. If it hadn't been for those few sips of cappuccino, my shirt might have ignited at her touch. He's not acting like himself, she snapped. He's all mopey and boring. Like a Halloween body swap episode, I suggested hopefully. I don't care about your TV show, Sage. I care about Jules. What's the point of you if you don't make him happy? You'd miss stealing my t-shirts if I was gone. She rolled her eyes at me. Sure. Whatever helps you sleep at night, you ridiculous cliff face in tight jeans. When she walked away, she took the rest of my cappuccino with her. I didn't even see her take it from my hand. That morning, we held the worst rehearsal in the history of the band. I can't even say what was wrong, just... Juniper and Holly were off by the tiniest fraction, both of them giving each other wary looks, and that song was back, beating the sound of its own damn drum inside my skin. There were way too many voices building up in my brain. Vale and May and Nightshade and Evan and... I needed to get completely out of my head. I needed to set something on fire with my magic. I needed to get this song down on paper before it clawed its way out of my skull. I needed to get on my goddamn broom and deal with some ghosts. After the show. I could hold it together until after the show. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at SheepMightFly. Follow me on Facebook at TansyRRBooks. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. Later this week, in just a couple of days, my $2 plus Patreon backers will get the first of the exclusive stories just for them. And it is The Alchemy of Fine, a fake geek girl prequel about how the band got together and their first year at Belladonna University. So those of you who are Patreon supporters, I hope you really like the story. If you are not, there is still time to sign up. And I will see you next week.